All right, joining me now, all the way from beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes, the beautiful Charlie Hurt. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Andy. I got to tell you, Charlotte is normally is actually a pretty city, but I will tell you that that with this convention here, and it has sort of assumed the same police state that you saw last week in Tampa. It's really not so pretty, and actually trying to drive around here is enough to drive you insane.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm calling attention to your column today, Convention Security, the Embodiment of Police State. And you're exactly right. You know, I thought about it for a little while earlier today, and I said, you know, I might not be able to talk to Charlie because he may not be able to get through security to even get to a telephone. But obviously you made it. Have you ever in your life seen security at one of these events like we saw in Tampa or there in Charlotte?
No, and you know, it's funny. You know, when I started going to conventions, 10 years ago or so, and I remember talking to reporters who had been covering these things for a really long time, and they were amazed at the security. Mm-hmm. And they said that, you know, they couldn't believe how it really, you know, they just regiment it down to, I mean, it's insane. There are more police per, square inch than there are, at the Kremlin.
Yeah.
It's like nothing you've ever seen. And yet this, Andy, what we're seeing now is so much worse than just 4 years ago or just 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it really does, it's terrifying, especially when you stop and think about the fact that, you know, that these things are so unpopular. Politicians are so unpopular. There's the interest in the conventions is waning. Their usefulness seems to be sort of more pageantry than anything else.
Yeah.
And then so suddenly what does sort of the political class do? They amp it up by bringing in these riot police, you know, teams, platoons of riot police, and it also adds to this notion that these people are the center of the universe and that they're so important and they're so much more important than all of the unimportant blokes, also known as taxpayers, who aren't allowed to come into this thing. And it feeds that sense of entitlement that I think is just kind of rotting our government.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of in Tampa, and I'm sure it's the same way there? The Green Zone in Iraq.
Yes. 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 And talk about the ultimate 1%. I mean, how it is that the Democrats here in Charlotte and same in with the Republicans in Tampa can talk about any, I mean, this isn't even the 1%. This is like the 1% of the 1%. Because if you are not part of this sort of political class that gets to walk into this thing, literally, you would never in a million years find a way to get in here.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm assuming you did. I think you may have even mentioned it. Down in Tampa, I was on the fifth floor of a parking garage, and that was the exposed level, and you could look out and around the event, and you could see both the convention center and the forum. Well, on the big night, Thursday night, looking out on that little, I guess it's a river or some type of tributary that runs along there. I don't think it's Tampa Bay, but it's, you know, something like an inlet from that. All of the gunboats out
yeah.
there.
I mean, what are they going to do? Who are they going to use a 50 caliber on that mounted on the front of a I mean, literally, it was as if we were in Saigon during the Vietnam War, and these boats would come cruising up, and all these guys with binoculars, who are they going to unload that thing on?
Yeah, we had the gunboats, we had helicopters, we had Secret Service, State Police, Sheriff's Department, local police, National Guard. I don't know who we were missing. I think everyone was there.
Yeah, we weren't missing anybody. But, you know, I must say one thing. You know who I love at these events? I love the National Guard. Because you know what? They're just normal dudes that
yeah.
are in the military.
Yeah.
They've got these huge, huge guns. And they're just sitting there smoking cigarettes. You know, their brothers and their sisters and their moms and their
yeah.
grandmoms are just normal people like all of us. And I felt safe knowing that they were there because I felt pretty sure that they would, whatever might happen in that situation, they would be on my side.
Yeah.
They would be on the side of America as opposed to the side of protecting this little cabal of people who political people who really haven't done have been working out so well for us the last few years.
Yeah, you know, it was funny though. I did have one moment that was a stark contrast to the very tight security, and Ann reminds me of this. We were going to the event on Thursday evening, the big night. Okay, so we're waiting outside. You know, all we did is go through security all day long, getting into the convention center, even coming out of the convention center, and then going over to the forum. You had to wait in line again. You know, it's a million degrees outside. Well, anyway, I see this line off to the left, and it says media. So I thought, hey, what the heck? What the heck? I got a media pass. So I walk up there, and the guy says, no. No, you can't get through. And I said, okay, all right, fine. So I went back over and got back in line with Ann and Amy, our intern. And so we're waiting there and waiting there. And here comes David Gergen, walks right past me, walks over to the media line, never even engaged the guy who had stopped me, walked right around him and went right on through. And
wow.
And I was shocked by that. So I walked back over to the guy, and I said, that was David Gergen, just walked right past. And the guy looked at me, and I said, you know, I'm also a member of the media. I guess I can go in here. And he goes, no, sir, you can't. He goes, about David Gergen, he says, yeah, he looked pretty determined, didn't he? Excuse me?
Wow.
Excuse me?
Wow.
You just let a guy walk right through? You let a guy
wow.
walk right past, and here, you know, other members of the media. And look, I wasn't looking for anything special. I just happened to see the line media. So I figure, well, heck, if I'm part of the media, I should be able to use that line. David Gergen did, not me. But anyway, I mean, that just shows you how lax it can become in one split second. And that was the exact opposite of what we saw all week. I mean, remember, if you showed up with a bottle of water, you were in trouble.
Yeah, but see, that's what is so maddening about all of it, is that the end result isn't actually even safety, because as you mentioned, you know, there'll be a gate here where you get poked and prodded, you got to go through TSA, you get groped, and then over here, it's just wide open, and people can get through.
Yeah.
But I would actually argue that that capriciousness, all that does is it serves to further empower all the people that are in control of the process.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's not about it. I mean, I know it. I do believe that most people are trying to make it safe. But the net result, and this is what's wrong with these sorts of lockdown situations, is that the end result is that it's not necessarily safe. And the more capricious it is, it just means that they have all this power to sort of say who gets in, who doesn't, and, you know, we're not really concerned about safety. And the fact that they have a huge gun and they look like they work for Vladimir Putin, that right there is all they need to be in control. And it's just scary, and it's just so dang un-American.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
America.
It's crazy. And it had to be a giant pain in the rear end for the locals, you know, when you think about it, because a lot of these people were just shut out of their own territory for a solid week.
Yeah, and all because the assumption is they cannot be trusted to behave and to act, to act honorably around politicians. And it's just like, my good, what are you talking about? How did we get to this point where that's the assumption? And the fact that politicians allow it to go on and they're not embarrassed by it, I think also goes to show just how far off the mark.
Well, they don't. They have no shame. They have no shame. They never have. I mean, come on. I mean,
they're completely deluded, and they're completely, they're just so cut off from reality that they would. This doesn't even bother them.
Yeah, I noticed that the protesters were in the next county, I think.
Yeah, and they call it a free speech zone. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I thought America was a free speech zone, you creep.
I saw that.
A free speech zone.
down the road, like a mile and a half away.
Actually, yeah, and they just beat them up.
Yeah.
You know, spray them with pepper spray every now and then to make them feel like they're, protesting. And
yeah.
then. Oh, it's just so ridiculous.
I like the protesters.
Ridiculous. I don't know. How did we get here?
Yeah. I like the protesters that walked up to the cops and asked them where the next protest site was.
And the cops told them because they knew it didn't really matter. It's
But I also noticed Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Sandra Fluck walked right into the convention center, and I didn't see them wearing any credentials. So, hey.
Well, no, I think that they did. They did get credentials, but you know who they got them from? Their friends in the media, which is to say, everyone that works in the media.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Charlie. Well, great to talk to you. Have fun down there in Charlotte. I'm sure you'll wander
Thanks,
into something,
Andy.
And we'll talk again. Take care.
All right.
Charlie Hurt writes a nuclear option column for the Washington Times. Today's is entitled "Convention Security: The Embodiment of a Police State." And it really was, too. 3:47, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.